Well, how many brought the Word of God with you this morning? If you don't, there might be one in the back pew. This morning I'm reading from my favorite Bible, the New King James Version. Everyone has their favorites, but I appreciate everyone being here this morning. You know, we all go through tough times in life, in church, out of church, but you know, we all have to move forward. We all have to move forward, and for those that are ready to, I think the Lord are going to just help us in every way. Praise the Lord. I'm glad this morning to have my youngest daughter with me this morning, and she has a friend, Kevin, with her. And my daughter's 30-some years old, and you never tell a lady's age, so that's as far as I can go. She's 30-some years old. And for her entire life, I've always either preached, taught, sung, played something, played the radio. It seemed like it would be, she'd know something's wrong with me if she didn't see me up here. But I praise the Lord for her, and I'm glad she's here this morning. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity, and I appreciate being able to speak to you this morning. And you know, this is kind of unusual. When Brother Dave asked me to speak two Sundays back to back, it was like we no sooner got off the phone, and it's like the Lord spoke to me. I've never preached this message. Most of them I preached new. But it was like God just dropped it in my heart. It was like just there. And so this morning I'd like to begin a two-part series. So I'll be ministering this morning in word to you. And then we'll have a station identification break next week because we have a missionary coming. So I didn't know we were going to have a station identification break, but we are. And then we're going to finish part two. So I call it series one and two, and I titled it The Language of Praise. And like I said, God just dropped that in my heart. And that was like, there it is. So if you would, open to Psalms chapter 149, and I would like to read you my main text this morning. Psalms 149, 1 through 6. It reads, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their God. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." The language of praise. I would like to speak this morning on the language of praise. You know, so often we hear the word thankfulness, and we will hear that more as this month. You know, and it's very, very important to be thankful. But there's just a vast difference between being thankful and praise. And I want to explain it for a moment. Being thankful is something that we're going to do and something we're going to say and we're going to be in admiration for because of what God has done for us. And we need to be thankful. We need to be appreciative, and we need to say that, and we need to be so, so thankful. But to be praised, it's so different. Praise is something of who God is. It's who he is. It's who we admire. It's for what God is. It's his wisdom, his power. It's his kindness. Praise is something we give to God because of who he is, not for what he's done. And we need to be thankful. We need to be extremely thankful. But praise is something for who God is. God is supernatural. He's the one, he's the creator. He's the great I am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the great shepherd. He is the A to Z. He is God. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's here. He's in our midst. And this is something we can't see, but we need to praise him for who he is. You know, man likes to see God. Man likes to see God. You know, over in Egypt, they made great gods. They made huge monuments. They would make gods because they wanted to see him. We can't see God because he is a spirit. That's why God says, if you're going to worship me, you must worship me how? In spirit and in truth. Because most of us never have a glimpse of the visual God. But we know who he is. We know how good he is. We know he's full of kindness. We know he's wonderful. And we praise him. We honor him. We lift hands sometimes. We just want to glorify him for who he is. Have you ever prayed and not just asked God for something? Try it. I mean, because I'm human. We all have a tendency. First thing we do is, you know, we want to get down. We want to just say, God. And we start asking for things. But sometimes we just need to get to a place where we are going to just praise him for who he is and the awesome ability that he has and the creator that he is. He's divine. He's holy. It's amazing. We serve an absolute amazing God. And sometimes it comes out in different ways. King David, let's look at a scripture. Turn back just a little bit to Psalms 99. Psalms chapter 99 in verse 1 through 3 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Verse 5 says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. You're not probably going to see God. But Jesus said, we're blessed if we serve him. We're blessed if we praise him. We can praise him in song. We can praise him in word. We can praise him with our mouth. We can praise him with our bodies. We can praise him with timbrels. We can praise him with the tambourine. You can praise him when you clap. Verse 6 says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. God is in our sanctuary. God is in our midst. Oh, how we praise him. King David, he got so excited. He got so excited. The scripture says he began to dance. He began to dance before the Lord, and it was a type of praise. Next week, I'm going to talk a little more about threefold praises and what is involved with praise. Well, I know one thing. Praise has to have some form of expression. I'm going to praise the Lord. Oh, I almost fell asleep. Praise has to have some form of expression. And when you praise the Lord, sometimes it's going to come out in word, and sometimes it's going to come out in song, and sometimes it's going to come out in our bodies, and sometimes it works different for everybody. And I don't expect everybody, none of us expect everyone to praise the Lord the same, but it's going to be some form of expression. It's going to be some kind of, I hate to say this word. Sometimes it's a human effort. Sometimes you have to put forth an effort. But you know what? As God begins to move in our hearts, he's going to move in our souls. He's going to move in our spirit realm. See, as we get close to God, he's going to move in our spirit. He's going to move in our soulish realm. And sometimes it comes out in our bodies. And sometimes we need to praise the Lord. King David got so excited, he danced. Some people get so excited, they raise their hands. Some might run. Some might just sit there and praise him quietly. But they praise him in their spirit. Now, I'm not dumb. I'm not going to expect Chuck Kiley to come up here and grab this tambourine and say, I'm going to praise the Lord and dance. I'm not. Now, come on. But you know what? He praises the Lord in his heart. He praises him. He knows the Lord. He praises him. I'm trying to explain. We all, you know, it comes out differently. With me, I'm a little hyper sometimes. I don't mind that. I like to praise the Lord. And sometimes, you know, it just comes out. But that's just me. Be thankful you don't have to live with me. Pray for her. See, hon, they do pray for you. the scripture says that out of our mouth, we can't put forth blessing or curses. So we can't put them both forth out. So what's interesting, and God, again, just kind of dropped this in my heart, that we can't be praising the Lord and complaining at the same time. We can't be doing those two things at the same time. We can't be praising him. We can't be honoring him. We can't be glorifying him and complaining at the same time. The children of Israel, they were following their leader, Moses, and they were going for many, many years, decades. How many know how many decades? Four decades. For 40 years, they were in the wilderness. Now listen, God was guiding them, leading them, and helping them in every way. He was allowing their clothes to grow in their bodies. He was giving them everything they needed. He was dropping manna from heaven. That's a type of food, kind of angel food, but it was a food that would sustain humans day in and day out. They could live on it. They could sustain on it. God, every morning, was giving them food, literally dropping it out of heaven, and they would find it, and they would collect it, and it would only last one day, but he would collect that food. And it would keep them. This went on for a while, and I think they were okay with it for a while. But after about 10 years, I'm just guessing, maybe it was 5 or 15, I don't know. But after a while, they began to get so tired of manna that they began to complain. And the scriptures actually says that they began to say, I wish I had some meat. I wish I had some onions. I wish I had some melons. Some of them, even in their heart, began to say, I wish I was back in Egypt. At least I had some. You know, we're complainers. As humans, sometimes we complain. Now, we cannot be complaining and praising at the same time. So if you begin to find yourself complaining, just start thinking about the awesomeness of God. Start thinking about the scriptures. Start thinking about the word. Start thinking about how great and powerful a supernatural being what we serve, and maybe it'll help. Because, I mean, we're all humans. We've all done it. I do it. But I'm not happy with that. And I'm trying. And God is working with us. Song of Solomon, he chose these words, and you've probably heard me say this before, but I love it. Because he couldn't find the words to express himself so much. He just finally came out and said, Solomon said, he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. That's a praise. He's altogether lovely. That doesn't mean that's not for what he did for us. And we need Thanksgiving ministers and, sermons. Thanksgiving's coming up. We need that. But I'm talking this morning about the language of praise. We need to have that in our lives. And complaining will prevent us from having joy. Complaining will prevent us from praising the Lord. Complaining will injure ourselves. Will it injure you physically? Probably not, but it'll injure your soul, this realm. It'll injure your spirit. See, we're not just a body. All of us have different bodies. This is just the temple that God gave us. But now, complaining and murmuring and not seeing God for who he really is will hurt our spirit. It crushes us. God is touched. Do you know God has feelings? You can read all through the scriptures. He's touched with Jesus, of course, was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with our feelings. He loves his praise. God's so jealous that he said, I will have no gods before me. You can put out all the gods you want. You can make anything else a god. You can do what you want. But he said, I won't accept that. Because God fills the universe. He's so big that the scripture says he makes the earth his footstool. I mean, you know, it's just he inhabits the praises of Israel, and we're engrafted in. We were Gentiles, but thank God he includes us in his plan. So we praise and we bow before him because of all his goodness and majesty. And, you know, we can't always choose the things that happen to us in life. Sometimes they just happen. But we can choose the attitude that we deal with it. I like to say the Beatitudes are attitudes to be at. We choose who we are by what we do and what we say and the way we live. You can be a good example or you can be a bad example. I mean, no, we're all examples. We're all here. But we follow our example, who, of course, is Christ Jesus. Some don't even realize that Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. I have had some good spiritual men, heroes in my life. And it's awesome when you find somebody that you can just look up to. It's all right. But praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he does. But praise him even when things sometimes blindside us. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard. But collect yourself. And put yourself at the foot of the cross. I've had some very difficult times in my life. And I have found myself just have to bow it and say, God, I'm just going to lay it at the foot of the cross. I give it to you. Because you said, cast all my cares upon you. For you care for me. And I thank you. I praise you. I glorify your name. Maybe at this moment it feels like you're not doing anything for me. But you're still awesome. You're still wonderful. You still have created the heavens and the earth. You still have a great place for me to go to. You have opened up the heavens for our spirit and souls to be welcomed into. The scripture says that the spirit of an animal goes downward, but the spirit of man goes upward. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Sometimes things blindside us and sometimes they hit us hard. Then we have to choose. We have to choose. How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do? Sometimes it takes a little while to collect ourselves. But I want to see us make right decisions. And I want to see us praise the Lord, even in adversity, even when it's really, really tough. I want to give you an example. And I had this planned. I have it right here in my wonderful notes. I like to play chess. It's my favorite game in all the world. Am I the best? No. Am I a master? Absolutely not. But I'm a good home player. So I met Joe, Marcia's husband. I met Joe, and I like Joe, and I said to Joe, I said, I really like to play chess. Oh, he said, I play chess. I said, I'm a good home player. And he says, well, let's play sometime. So we played a few games. Every game, Joe beat me. I feel like I'm a good home player, but every game Joe beat me. So, this last game that we played, it was so interesting because I had Joe on the ropes, and here I am. You know, I got my pieces going, and there's 32 pieces on each side, just 64 squares. So it's quite an in-depth strategy mind game, but I love it. Win or lose, I do like it, and so. Finally, this game came, and I had his king on the side. I was taking his pieces, and it was all going so well for me, and it was just, I was moving in the right direction. I finally felt like I had the king where I wanted it. I was trying to trap him. And in chess, if you kill the king, it's game over. Whether you resign, the king falls over, he's dead. So I had everything going in my favor. The game just finally was going. I finally thought I could beat one game just one time. So it was going so well. So I'm just about ready. I've got like two or three moves and I believe I can get him a checkmate. And I'm just about to, I am swarming on him. And he knows it. He knows it. I'm just about there. And all of a sudden, it's his turn. And bang, out of the blue, the queen, who can go anywhere, the queen comes all the way down the board and stops right in front of my king, and he had it backed up by a knight. That means his queen, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move my knight. I mean, I couldn't move my king. His queen was covered by his knight. It was game over. Bang. It was checkmate. He won. And it was like, I had everything going. That took me right out of the blue. And now I have a choice. Now, what are my choices? I can give up. I can get up. I can throw the board. I can throw the pieces. I can be mad at them. I can shake my fist at them. Or I could just say, I got up and punched him in the arm. I said, hey, you know, it just surprised me. But I chose to make a good moment out of it. It was a loss to me, but I chose to make a good moment out of it. And you know, sometimes things do blindside us. But God wants us to get in that place where our spirits are ready to praise him, magnify him, and glorify him in all things that happen. Is it easy? No, not always. But we're growing. We're maturing. I want to give you a little example. I'm not going to throw these. And I'm going to have them gently passed out, but I have an illustration. So I'm going to gently pass these out, and I need Chuck and George to close their eyes. Because if they see one of these on the floor, for me, hey, Dave, would you help me, please? I want every one of these, everyone here, Dave is going to grab everybody. I think there's enough there. Just hand one seed. There's a sunflower seed. Jason, would you help me? Hand these out. Everyone just get one of these sunflower seeds. And I just want everyone to have one in their hand for an illustration. And then I want to ask while they're doing that, does anyone have a bird feeder? No? Do you have a bird feeder? Here. Well, here you go. This is for your bird feeder. You're welcome. And everybody, when you're done, either put it in your pocket and feed it to the birds or give it to Lonnie. Because if they're found on a carpet. Okay, we're almost done with the seeds. I've only got maybe 45, 55 minutes more in my message. But we're almost done with the seeds. Okay, everyone, put that little sunflower seed in your palm of your hand and close it around around that seed. I want you to imagine that this little sunflower seed is in the ground, because that's where it goes. This seed can't see. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't, it's just in the ground. It's surrounded by darkness. It's surrounded by darkness. It has no brain. We have a brain. And God put these seeds in the ground. And then they begin to open up, and the sprout begins to go. Now think about this. This sprout could go 360 degrees. Technically more because of the roundness of a ball. Think the sprout can go anywhere, but it begins to grow and it begins to grow up. If you turn it, you can see it. You know, it doesn't, you don't, how in the world does that little sprout know to grow upward? What's the answer? I'm going to show you the answer. If you can, with a seed in your hand and want to, turn to Malachi. And that's the last book of the Old Testament. So turn to Malachi 4:2, and we'll look at it together. Okay, Malachi 4:2 says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." The answer to why these little seeds grow upward is because to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness. And this is a very unusual word in the scriptures because it's actually spelled capital S in reference to the Son of God. And it says S-U-N. The little seed begins to grow upward because of the light. It begins to grow upward because it needs to find the sun. It goes upward because it needs to find the light. The sprout isn't going to find it sideways or upside down. The sprouts begin to go upward because of the sun. Because have you ever put a little plant in a window and noticed that when the sun's over here, it grows this way. And when the sun's over here, it grows this way. I mean, the plants are trying to reach the sun. And so, you know, that's how powerful the Son is. And that's how powerful the Son of God is. We praise the Lord for who he is. He is the Son. In heaven, there's not going to be a material sun that we have now, because the scripture says the sun, S-O-N, lights the heavens and lights the glories of heaven, just like Malachi 4:2 says, S-U-N, it's the sun. So, you know, we're heading toward the light. We're going in the right direction, because we all need the sun. We need the earthly sun and we need the heavenly sun. But, you know, fruit, when it grows and the fruit grows, it's out in the sun a lot. So fruit and things that grow on trees is one of the greatest ways that you can eat and filter in some of the sun, because it's continuously being shown on by the sun. So that sun comes into us by the fruit. The fruit bears it. So, but that sprout grows upward. And I want us to grow upward. We all want to grow upward. We want to praise the Lord. We want to advance. We want to be like verse 2 says. We want to be like calves of the stall. That's not talking about physical. We want our spiritual man to grow. We want our spiritual man to be beefed up. We want our spiritual man to be enhanced. Grow up. Grow up as and we can be fat and flourishing in the Spirit of God, in our spirits. All of our spirits are the same. We don't die. Our spirit does not die. And so we want to nourish that in a very special way. We want to eat. So no matter what seems like it's happening, just remember, we can praise the Lord and no matter what, because He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise. So let's just, and I'm going to have to pause there. And yeah, I've always wanted to say this, Jason. I don't think I've ever said this. I've always wanted to say this. I won't be speaking next week. We'll have a missionary. Then I'm going to be ministering on the language of praise in 2 weeks, and we'll pick up where we left off for my second phrase. And you don't want to miss it. I've always wanted to say that. Dave, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. let's just stand and I'll close in prayer. We just want to praise the Lord. And I just hope that we can express ourselves in praise and just grow from this and just let the Word of God minister to our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for your every single soul that's here this morning. We just thank you for what you're doing in every life. And they're here because of what you're doing. And those that aren't here, God, we pray that you'll draw them in. This is not the end, Lord, but it can be the beginning. Lord, for all of us, we just ask you to help us in every way. Move us onward, move us forward, move us upward. Lord, we just pray that you'll move us from earthly things to heavenly things and help us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because we want to use our mouths and we want to use our bodies to praise you and to live for you. We ask you to give us the strength. Give us the strength to do that. Lord, we're humans. Sometimes we are weak. But God, we pray you'll turn our weaknesses into strength. We pray you'll take our crooked ways and make them straight. We pray that you'll take our rough roads and make them smooth. You can do all things because, God, you are God. And we love you. And we thank you. And we just praise your wonderful, magnificent name. We glorify you. Lord, we just ask you to help us, Lord, this week, just to praise you in a much more real way. And just help us, Lord, to grow and help us to really see the light of who you are, the sun in our souls, the sun in our spirits, Lord. We just love you. We thank you. Be with each one. And Lord, draw us back to this place at your appointed time. So dismiss us not from this place, but keep your presence with us. And we just praise you and thank you in that wonderful and mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. And all the people said, amen. Amen.